This podcast is brought to you by Urban Float. If you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli in the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pods filled with purified, skin-temperatured water at 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. The health benefits are profound. I love it. I love it.
I'm glad you do.
I see that. I love it. I see this. I'm supposed to do. I love it.
Wait a second.
I do love it, actually. Thank you. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use code FIRSTTIME at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, and revive at Urban Float.
Very good.
Three, two, one. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
It goes well.
Fellas.
Yo.
Yes.
Yo, yo.
Yes.
I'm exhausted from that ad read.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, there's so much pressure. I'm just trying to work it through.
Anyway, we got advertisers now, man. You're gonna have to adult now. It's time for adulting.
We may lose them.
You can feel it though. You could feel it in your read though. I felt like I was floating.
You did.
Yeah, you did. I did.
You're floating out of here,
Rob. I haven't seen you in so long, man. How are things,
dude? Where have you been? I have not been floating enough, actually.
Well, Carlos said,
I see
we really
your wife
got,
more often.
We got to get Rob in to float. We really got to push it, and he said you're on the fence.
On the
dream pod edge of.
I never said that.
And it is something that I remember back from listening to Joe Rogan days and how he used to just, you know.
He still does it.
But I'm just saying, like, that's when I remember first hearing about it. Right. And it was something that I thoroughly said, oh, my gosh, I got to get into this. But I honestly, because the summer months, you would think because my schedule, the summer months are a little bit more, you know, a little bit more chill. It's not the case because I do a lot of other little things in the summertime.
Well, aren't we all at that age where we never really chill, right?
No,
I mean, if I got something to do, I'm trying to make the most out of it.
Exactly. Right? I mean, we try to invest ourselves in what was considered to be like just a little garage pastime. Now we try to invest a little bit more time. We got a little bit more expendable cash that we can put into it. So, you know, we make them a little bit more of ourselves.
Well, we try to make the most of what we got left.
Absolutely. Exactly.
We're on the
limited time.
I'm now a young old man.
Yeah.
Last year, well, at 49, I was an old young man. After 50, now I'm a young old man.
I want to explore as much as possible. My wife and I were just talking about that. We're getting ready to celebrate our 25th anniversary together.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And, you know, we were just talking about, you know, once the kids do the flying the coop, I said, you know, that might be one possibility, but it's, you know, there's so much of this globe that I've yet to see that I still want to. And I want to do it while I can still... You know, while I'm ambulatory.
See?
Yeah. While I still see, while my joints still relatively work.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that'll give me more reason to go back and float.
I want an apartment in Albuquerque. That's as far as I want to go. I just want to go to New Mexico or Rehoboth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking about traveling to Albuquerque, and I became overwhelmed with a little bit of anxiety and flying all of a sudden. I get all stressed out about flying now. Now I'm like, oh, God.
That's age.
That's all I need, just worry about flying. Imagine getting finally make enough money or get the time to travel, and then you get too scared to fly.
You know, one of the things that we noticed, especially with some of the older people in our lives, like our parents and stuff, but Lisa and I were talking about this, that your world becomes smaller sometimes, and you start to fixate on things that were relatively inconsequential as you're growing up, you know, like as you're getting older. And then, you know, because your responsibilities are fewer and farther between, then all of a sudden you start to fixate on these little things that you typically wouldn't, like flying or, you know, what the neighbors are doing or what have you. And they become almost, you know, the forefront of your brain.
Paralyzing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it was like right before I fell asleep, you know, when you're just running through thoughts right when you're laying
when
in
you're
bed.
Driving on Route 1.
Well, no. Well, that's a good point. No. Well, it's funny. I decided to start going to bed at 10. Like in bed, lights off, no
Amen.
TV. I skipped. I was laying in bed watching a lot of TV while my wife went to sleep, Like I was watching Joe Rogan and different stuff. And I finally, I said, she said, can you not watch TV? Just go to sleep. I'm like, okay. And so we've really been doing that. And so I'm in bed at 10 o'clock. And if I was to tell you 3 weeks ago, I'd say I can't fall asleep at 10 o'clock. But it's like everything, I'm having to learn how,
yeah,
right? And I think we just assume that sleeping is just something we're just going to do, but I'm having to really learn how to go to sleep at 10.
So I'm a podcast addict. I subscribe. I can even show you the list. I probably have about 62 podcasts that I have on a regular rotation.
That's why you're friends with corporate here.
So, but honestly, so I'll listen to some in my running in the morning, you know, and I'll catch up on the news, so on and so forth. And then, you know, throughout the day, it'll sprinkle my ride to and from work. But in the evening, instead of television or anything else, what I'll do is I'll usually end it light because I really, you know, I want to end the day with at least, you know, feeling good about
stress-free.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a number of them that are not, you know, not too deep. They're more on the comedic side, what have you, Bill Burr, so on and so forth, that are just fun and can just kind of take you out of where you are. And that's what I fall asleep to almost every night. Even when I go camping, I do the same thing.
So you need something to fall asleep to.
Well, I like
what's
having
going
that
on in that head, Rob? That is
having it. It's that monkey mind. Yeah, it's that monkey mind. Right. You know, I got to focus on breathing. And
that's kind of what I was saying. It's like I'm having to learn how, like as a kid, I can remember I had the TV on, the mm-hmm. record player going, the music, headphones in. I mean, it took a team of stuff to get me to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then, but as I've gotten older, and my wife, she won't let me listen to music, and then I've fallen asleep with headphones, and then they hurt. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm just trying to learn how to fall asleep. But, you know, it's funny as we get older. It's we want to do so much stuff. It's like,
yeah.
But and I don't really feel like if I'm not rested. What's going on over there? You got some challenges?
No, I was trying to get the screen to come back. It's all morning it's been this way. It keeps disconnecting. I was going to show Rob all my podcasts.
Yeah, okay. You guys are going to battle out the list of
I don't have 62, but I have.
All I care, Rob, is Rehoboth Social Podcast on your list. That's all I care about.
It certainly is.
It's absolutely easy going, and it's nice to fall asleep. In fact, we can give you a countdown every night.
Just talking Rob, ASMR.
Count it backwards. 10.
I'm going to open this bottle now.
So listen, I reached out. Obviously, corporate mentioned you several times and your wife, I think, to have you guys or her and his wife come on the podcast. And then I'm like, of course I know Rob Rector. But I know you through Rob Waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you through short films. I know mm-hmm. you through the Milton Theater. I know you because my son did the horror trailer last year.
Yep.
And he won $100. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And so I do know you, and we've talked, and in fact, we talked that night, but I don't really, you know, I don't really know you. So I thought, let's have him on.
Neither do I.
So who is Rob Rector?
I don't know.
Who's Rob Rector today?
We're going to find out.
What facet of Rob Rector are we getting today?
I subscribe to one theory is no more today than I know yesterday, and help each other along the way. That's it.
Oh, cool.
Life doesn't
satisfying,
get more simple.
It's a satisfying
life. Doesn't get any more simple than that. So, you know, my full-time job is chairing the communications department over at the college at Delaware Tech, which I have been I've been chair there for 6 years now, and we just crossed a milestone this year. When I first started as chair, I was just an instructor there before, a 10-month gig, and that allowed me free summers, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But so now, after department chair, which is a 12-month gig, we just crossed a milestone. We have 65 students when we first started. We now have 104 in the program.
That's awesome.
So I'm stoked. So
and I can honestly say that he is loved by his students. I've walked through the halls.
Well, I've only known a few minutes. I love him.
Yeah.
So I get that.
He's loved by his students. I've walked those halls with Rob a few times.
He's a regular guy.
It's great because what we have in our department, we call ourselves small but mighty, because we are a lot of times when we have the open houses, it's the students who don't really know exactly what they want to do, but they want to do something artistic. Like they want to do something that's just creative, and they want to use that creative side of their brain. And there's not a lot of opportunities around here for them to get educationally in that kind of realm. So they're, you know, they've kind of been outcasts, misfits, what have you, and, mm-hmm. and they find a home here, and it's a cool vibe. It really is. I mean, we're, you know, we've got some cool vibe. Great instructors.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is the class that you guys teach down there?
Which ones don't we? Podcasting actually is one of them too. Keith White is a phenomenal instructor.
I talked to you, you mentioned him and you mentioned that, and I was like, yeah, I want to meet this guy because I am, you know, doing a podcast, but I'm winging it.
Yeah.
You know, we're just on the from our ears, it sounds completely professional, I'm sure, but behind the scenes, it's crazy.
No, it's, and he has really kind of brought us. So we actually brought podcasting in as an elective, probably back in 2011, 12, I think, when I had first heard about podcasting, because podcasting has kind of ebbed and flowed.
Yep.
Like when it was originally released, it just wasn't. No one really even heard of it, and then corporate started to get behind it, and money started to get
guys involved in everything.
Yeah.
That's my nickname. Okay, Rob. He calls me corporate for some reason. I don't know why.
So,
but your white collar.
Oh, jeez.
You have you know, iHeartRadio. You have right. Apple. You've got all these places that are investing millions of dollars into podcasting. So. Anyway, it's now kind of on the resurgence because it used to be a terrestrial radio, and that's, you know, that ebbs and flows too. But so, you know, between that, we've got a bunch of different electives. Keith Mosier. Keith Mosier is another phenomenal instructor. You might have recognized the 302 Horseshoe mm-hmm. Crab designer. He's mm-hmm. a graphic designer as well. Josh Norwood, Jessica Farley. I mean, we've just got a really good team of educators in there. And
Rob
Waters is there too. So, you know, most of them are good educators. No, I'm kidding. I love Rob.
Well, he was just on the magazine Rob. Cover. Did you see that?
Are you kidding me? He brought it to my house the other
day. He sent me a picture of it. I'm like, okay, Rob.
I had to have him watch. I had to watch him sign it in front of me. I was like, geez, do we have to get that? No. I'm kidding. I love Rob and I work together, and it's, you know, I think I'm so proud of what we've, that little creative sandbox called the Revival House that we have.
And you know what? My hat's off to you guys because you guys have done a great job.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was something that, so when we started the Rehoboth Beach Independent Film Festival, decades ago. I was 24, 25 when we started that. And, you know, it went into various different incarnations throughout the years. And after I had left the board, you know, there was like that creative emptiness that, you know, we were talking about earlier that like he just needed to have that itch scratched. And Rob and actually his wife had been teaching for me at the time. And we said, you know, we had bad movie nights at my house where we would all get together, drink a few, and watch movies of questionable taste. I talked to Fred Munzert, who runs the Milton Theater, said, hey, look, we have this idea. What do you think? He was on board from the get-go and gave us kind of, you know, creative carte blanche. So we were stoked. And you know, this is 4 years now, we've been doing it, and it's just fun to be able to share stuff that we geek out over personally that we did in our, you know, each other's living rooms, and now be able to share it with crowds of, you know, sometimes five people, sometimes over, you know, we sold out last month at the Labyrinth. We had
awesome.
Close to 200 people there, a little over 200
David
people.
Bowie, the Muppets, man. Labyrinth.
What a phenomenal movie.
Codpiece.
Full audience participation with it. We did not point out the codpiece part of it. We let parents explain that to their kids afterwards. But we gave them whoopee cushions, so when they went through the bog of eternal stench, you know, hearing a theater full of farting children, I never thought would be more music to my ears.
It's hilarious.
It was great.
Well, and I think I've always said that Milton really has made a great effort to really turn that... I guess I can say turn it around. I mean, I'm not saying that was really on the downward part of a hill, but I definitely, I always say if I didn't live where I lived, I'd like to live in Milton.
Yeah.
Because it's just a lot of great stuff going on there. And the Milton Theater is a great example.
The theater really has reached out to really all facets of the community. And, you know, you can go one night and you can see something for, you know, retirees to kind of get their bridge club out there and watch. And then another night where you can see male strippers, or, not strippers, but you know what I mean, male dancers, male exotic dancers. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm going to get you.
No edit, longer sponsored edit, by edit, Rob. Edit.
What's our email? Male what's our mailbag? Right,
right. Sorry. So
that's no, great, Rob. We've been looking for mail once. Yeah. So maybe this will happen.
You know, I mean, it's really eclectic, and I just, you know, I think they've done such a phenomenal job in being able to reach a lot of the artistic arteries in that area.
Well, and we started talking about Rob Waters and your association with Rob, and then we started talking about a little bit about the horror trailer. What I love about that stuff, especially for like my son, even for me, you know, it's a great version of an amateur clip. You know, like as a when you're trying to like do a short film or something, you always want to be like the next Spielberg. Mm-hmm. And Rob, especially Rob Waters, has these old clips, you know, and it's so obvious. Like when stuff's getting blown up. Remember the mannequins?
Of course.
And it's like, but it reminds you that it doesn't have to be perfect. Yep. You know, it's a process. It's just part of it.
Even Lucas likes to dust off his stuff and try to you know, make it a little bit better and shine up everything that he's done in the past because of the technology and so on and so forth. But honestly, that you brought up the horror trailer challenge and
when is that going to do? Because Rob, I saw Rob recently. He says it's going to happen again.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's in October 3rd, Thursday in October. You know, this past year we had, I think 18 or 19 submissions, and the year before that we had 12. So every year it's been steadily growing, and it's, you know, it's great because it's that artistic venue that allows people who just kind of like to practice on the side or likes to do things kind of like, you know, what we like to do on the side and still get some jazzed up to do it. And even if they don't walk away with the prize, you get it screened in front. Oh, there's my son right there. Actually, he's Dr. Seuss.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's Nate.
Ah.
So it gets them a chance to see it on the big screen. And as part of the communications program, we have our multimedia showcase there. So we do a year-end showcase. We do the best in film, video, photography, written, spoken word, everything. And they take over the entire theater, all the students, and we use it for the best of the best of our students throughout the year. And we tell them throughout the year, we're constantly hyping it to the students. We're saying, look, you know, this is big. And sometimes they don't really grasp it until they're actually there. And you look out over a sea of people, and it's friends and family members and business owners and people within the community who are there to look at and support your work. And it can get overwhelming. And yeah. I tell a lot of them, too, you know, some of these times, this is going to be the biggest crowd you're going to ever have for anything that you do artistically. You know, I mean, to have that crowd out there and appreciate and respect your work, I mean, I think that's it's a really cool feeling to make somebody feel like a rock star for a night.
Well, I know that my son David did the horror trailer last year, and he was like, oh, you know, I first of all, when it was on the big screen, I'm like, oh my God, how cool is that? And I was just so proud of him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he actually won, and I was like, this might be his most awesome point in his young life so far.
It is, you know, and for some students and some kids, it may be, and it may never amount to, you know, it may be just kind of a passing fling. But for that moment, you know, there's a Neil Young song, "Rocking in the Free World," when he says, you know, there's that
line. I thought
Pearl
Jam did that.
There's a line in it where he said, "There's, you know,
trouble on the street."
Yeah, there's the kids will, there's one more kid that'll never go to school.
Never get to fall in love.
Never get to feel cool. And yeah. That line has always stuck with me. Never get to feel cool. Every kid deserves to feel cool once in their lives.
So we'll just, you know, so you do the trailer. So I think last year it was, you'll have to explain the rules, but it was basically, was there a time limit on it?
Yeah, 7 days.
No, I mean on the length of the trailer.
Oh, well, I think we said 3 minutes because it's got to be like, I think maximum of 3 minutes. Because
I think it was 3 minutes, and then you give out and last year was, he fed me cat food.
Yeah. Right.
So you had to say that inside the trailer.
So what we do is a week prior, and we really make this shit. Can we allow the cuss on here? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So we make this up.
Just one of our advertisers.
Just dropped.
That's two. Then you're sitting with two. two of them. So. I quit.
So we make it up, you know, usually prior to going on Facebook Live, the three of us, Rob, Aaron, and myself, Rob's wife, Aaron Tanner, the other cover model on Lewis.
Two of three.
Right. So the three of us will go on Facebook Live and we, you know, we come up with some sort of phrase, and we like to have one that can be interpreted several different ways depending upon where your emphasis is on what syllable and so on and so forth. And then a totem, an item. So, you know, it's got to be, you've got to have.
Last year was a stick lighter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It had to be one of those, you know, lighters that you use on the grill or whatever, but it could be anything. It could be, you know, fizzy water. It could be, you know, so.
I can't wait to find out what it is.
I can't either.
You haven't thought about it yet, have you?
We talked last night. They were over our house for a barbecue for probably a good, you know, 5 or 6 hours. That didn't even come up once. We had other things to talk about. It was just good to go out an adult for a while.
Well, we're not quite there yet. So, I mean, we're not quite. We're kissing summer goodbye.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we're going to do the same exact things. And then I think our initial conversations with the Milton Theater was that they are going to show it throughout that weekend. All the trailers that make the cut, they'll show in repetition throughout the weekend.
So I know that you made an adjustment in the categories kind of at the last minute.
We did.
So is that going to be a new category this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because young people?
We will open that up to them. I mean, we make an adjustment based on the content that we get. So if we have a lot of young students, because we open it to everybody.
Right.
I mean, you know, we don't want to deter anyone from doing it. So if we find that we have a large number or at least even a few of students in the area who are doing it, then we'll divvy the money up accordingly.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really cool. You know, I mean,
it's good to motivate them.
Yeah, no, and I know we had a lot of fun. We were just talking about, we've been talking about it for a few days now. Dave and I have been, you know, this trailer contest coming back up. And in fact, I told Carlos, I dare you to get into it.
It's super fun. Rob does it.
Let's get serious.
Rob does it too. I mean,
did he do it last year?
Yeah, he did. He did. He did he did some additional drone footage on it in the, I can't even remember the name of it right now, but anyway,
there were some really talented trailers. So yeah,
we've got some really talented people.
Yeah, there's
around
no,
here.
it's no gimme.
No,
there's
no,
you better.
Well, we opened it up on Film Freeway, which is a website that kind of opens it up, and anytime that there's a trailer anytime there's a film competition, then this opens it up. Now, we say it has to be in the immediate area. They have to be, you know, kind of in the area. But we've had other people who have submitted from, you know, from United Arab Emirates. And,
oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, they didn't have the line of dialogue or anything in there. They saw horror, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, I got something. And they showed a horror movie.
Who's sanctioning, Rob, who's sanctioning the contest? Is it?
So Sodell Concepts, actually
one of our advertisers.
One of your advertisers there, W Films puts in neat. For it too. So between
Delta,
that, we
Delta
get
Delta.
So Delta Tech has the students who usually participate.
Oh,
in
got it.
Are you looking for sponsors?
So absolutely, we are always looking for sponsors.
I think the Real Social Podcast would be excited to participate. Well, the salon used to sponsor the theater.
We have an idea of how to get the salon involved, but we'll save that. We had a brainstorming session. We had a brainstorming session last night, and I'll say two words: Edward Scissorhands.
Snap!
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk. I don't want to give too much away, but yeah,
that was a crazy movie.
This is pretty cool, Rob. Movie, looking at your this part of your website here on Deltek.
Oh yeah,
neat. So you're like, all of this is under your umbrella here.
That's all what we do. Yeah. In fact, excuse me. If you scroll up there, that picture was taken from a couple years ago. What we've started to do is live stream. Mm. We've really started to kind of get into that in the program where the students get an opportunity to actually do all facets of working in live broadcast, which, you know, as you guys know, it's kind of, it's working without a net. I mean, right. they get a chance to really, you know, they got to make sure they have a plan A, B, C, and D mm-hmm. for when something, you know, right. goes south. So they get a chance to be on camera personalities. They can work the cameras. They can do the show running. We have directors, and they do it all. They do it all from start to finish. And they've done different types of programs. This is from our multimedia showcase where they do live interviews. But we've also had I get a lot of directors and producers. Had the head of Warner Brothers Animation talk to my students in the film class. I've had a guy who won an Oscar for a short film who's been a friend of mine, lives out in L.A., and he Skypes in and talks to the kids. And we had somebody who created a movie last year, appeared on Shudder TV, and it was about the black experience in horror films. And it was just kind of throughout history how you know, black culture had been represented in horror films. You know, there's that old trope of, you know, they're always the first to die and so on and so forth. And you know, he kind of explored that myth throughout history. And it was really,
is
really
it true?
Interesting. No. I mean, it's
like, but, it's like that South Park episode when they have all the black guys on the tank to protect the tanks.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It is.
I can't believe South Park got away with that.
South Park gets away
with
that.
That was probably 10 years ago.
But
yeah, it was a while ago.
I mean, you know, but he does explore, you know, the various myths and tropes. And anyway, the guy who directed it, it was his second feature film directing. Really, really awesome guy. But we did a live broadcast from that as well, too, where the students got a chance to interview him behind the scenes, talk to him. We did a screening of the film called Horror Noir. And it's just, you know, it's a plenty of opportunities for them to work in.
That's really
in
cool, man. Like I said, your college, your school in Del Tech is pretty impressive, man.
Thanks, man.
You know, your kids really loved you, man. I was like, man, this guy, they worship him, man. I'm like, wow, this dude, you know, he's a celebrity in the school. He's walking the hallways, high-fiving everybody.
That's why I'm broke now. Yeah. I had to pay him to look good in front of you, Carlos.
Can I ask a question about the live? I mean, is this like... Because I remember you had a screening of a show, a third Thursday, and then you actually had like a live stream of the director,
mm-hmm.
or wasn't it somebody?
We did. We had the director of Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite.
Darn right, man. That's one of my favorite movies.
That movie was hysterical, but that was cool. So is it that kind of live streaming, or are you talking about like doing like Facebook Live?
No. So we do have that kind of live streaming. So that's what they do in my classes. Because a lot of times, like I have a guy. Kirby Ferguson, who wrote this, wrote and directed, if you look at the shorts on there, award-winning shorts, he's done TED Talks, he's been on CNN, MSNBC, called Everything's a Remix, talking about how, you know, especially artistically, how historically things are kind of on the shoulders of what others have created, and mm-hmm. what constitutes new versus what constitutes borrowed versus what constitutes stolen. And I always thought that was fascinating, so... I reached out to him a decade ago, and he's been every year he comes in. I don't mean that in a sense of like comes in through Skype and talks to my students and answers all their questions. We watch his shorts. They talk to him. And for them, I tell them, look, this is an opportunity to talk to somebody who's doing what you want to do, what you're in college to do for a career. So ask away, and you know they're very gracious. The guests that I have come in there, they'll take resumes for them and give them good career advice and tell them what to do, what not to do, where to go, where to put your money, so on and so forth. So, you know, these are great role models for them to kind of, you know, follow if they want to, you know, fulfill their artistic visions.
Okay, that's awesome. I got a question for Rob. Can I ask?
Go ahead.
Mr. Host.
Go for it.
I'm going to say it, Rob. Yeah, I need your opinion.
Uh-oh.
Rise of Skywalker.
Dude. All right, so let me test the waters with you guys first.
Rise of Skywalker, is that the new Star Wars movie?
Yeah. Yes. So let me test the waters with you first. Yeah. Last Jedi.
That's a 63rd podcast.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Oh, man, I got to tell you.
What was it?
That was tough for me, man. It was entertaining. It was entertaining. I watched it a couple times in the theater, maybe two or three times. I'm in the middle with it, I think.
Really?
The last Star Wars movie? I thought it was awesome.
Wait a second. I can't remember.
What about Solo?
I'm thinking about Solo, too. Wait a minute.
Not like, Solo.
I'm trying to remember. It was a while ago. Was it The Last Jedi?
Last Jedi?
No, with Luke. No, I did enjoy that one. That was really good.
I freaking love that one. All the, I mean, I'm a lifelong nerd, as Carlos knows. I'm a lifelong nerd.
So look at my podcast list here. Let's see. Collider, nice. Jedi Council, of course, Collider, yeah, TV totally. Talk, mixed in with Game of Thrones.
Listen, I saw the first Star Wars 38 times in the theater.
Yeah.
Nerd alert.
That's right. I'm a nerd.
It's No. And that's what got me into it. Like, that was the first, like, my current trajectory of where I am today is based on Lucas my Films. Love for Star Wars.
Absolutely.
It really is.
I'm looking forward to Rise of Skywalker.
So, 46. Yeah.
47. So, I'm 51. How old are you?
29.
So I actually, I mean, I remember reading the USA Today article about this new movie Star Wars coming out, going to the theater. And you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this back then. There was no VCRs. There was no demand. You had to see it in the theater. And back when I was a kid, we could stay. They would let us stay in there. We'd watch it over and over and over.
I'm gonna address that in 1 second after I finish his, because Rob and I just got into a conversation about that very same topic.
I'm sorry,
but I am so incredibly stoked for it.
Yeah,
but I'm also
I'm nervous about it.
I'm melancholy because it is. I mean, really, this is the end of the Skywalker saga, and this is the end of essentially a lifelong devotion to.
Is it the end because it says the Rise of Skywalker? You know,
yeah.
And then you have the Emperor's laugh in there. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? I'm getting a little confused. I feel like they rewrote what Lucas wrote.
So I have my theories on it, but I'll save those
for the article in Cape Gazette.
Right. No. But I do think there's a fan theory out there that if it is true. It's awesome.
Oh, I've read. I think I know what you're talking about.
It's awesome, but it would be more than one movie.
Can you imagine if she's the daughter of Palpatine?
Well, not daughter, but offspring, like some sort of genetic relation to Palpatine. That would be so awesome. But she's trying to deny her roots. Right. The exact same.
But
time
she's inherently
that Kylo
good,
Ren.
But she's inherently right.
Yeah. But the exact opposite of Kylo Ren, who's trying to deny his root.
That's wild.
That would be really, really awesome. But I think it's probably a little bit more pedantic.
I feel like when Disney took over Lucasfilms, I feel like they're kind of where George Lucas was trying to make it into a like a Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's done. It's buried. It's a legend. It's in there with the Shining and everything. But now they're reviving it back up again. I feel like there's a little bit of that, right, Rob?
Absolutely. I think too. I mean, you saw that with Solo, and you saw how Solo did. I mean, it tanked, and it also scratched a lot of the other projects that they had. So they were like, okay, we'll put it on Disney Plus now.
I actually enjoyed the other offshoot with what's her.
Oh, I love the other ones too. Jesus, and both of us love it, and we can't remember it. Yeah. But it was the one with the British robot.
That was pretty cool.
But
Are you awake over there, Tom?
I know. We're totally.
I'm really trying to figure out because I'm a huge fan of Star Wars, and I kind of faded, I guess, because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I liked about Rian Johnson's vision, though. This is what I liked about Last Jedi because it felt like it was kind of all these things that Disney kind of took it into. J.J. Abrams, to all his credit, the Force Awakens was a remix. I mean, it was a well-done remix, and it was great, but it was a remix. I mean, it was all the same themes, all the same plot
lines.
Trying
to be traditional.
Yeah.
Right. He basically just did Star Wars over.
Exactly. And Rian Johnson was the one who said, you know what?
We'll go left a little bit.
This lightsaber that you hold so dear, fuck it. And he just kind of tossed it off the side. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, that's ballsy, man.
It is. He did a lot of ballsy moves that I really,
really
appreciated.
Did I miss a Star Wars?
I think so.
Because I thought there was the one with J.J. Abrams. I watched it and I go, that was Star Wars redone.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Force Awakens.
And then I thought Solo came after that.
No,
was there something
the Last
else?
Jedi.
Last Jedi. Last Jedi.
Mark Hamill comes back. You know,
Yoda comes back.
Yeah, Yoda. But, Mark Hamill actually did not want to be killed off.
I know.
Like him and Carrie Fisher, they were all like excited about coming back because you know their careers were like dead. You know when George Lucas had dinner with them or whatever, and he's like, "How would you like it?" And Carrie Fisher's like, "Yes!"
Yeah. You know? And then she died.
So she jumped over the table like, "Yes, I'll come back." You know, totally revived all their careers. And I think Mark Hamill was really, really excited about doing it. And
yeah.
I think when J.J. Abrams or whoever wrote it in. To like, okay, man, it's the end. You're yeah. coming back just to die. But I think he's, you know, the Force ghosts and all that stuff will give him some life back. But
there's, you know.
I did geek out on it for a couple of years, Tom. I did. I mean, I was like all over it listening to the podcast and stuff.
It's really cool because, you know, I don't know about Charlie, but I mean, I know like my kids love going to Star Wars movies yeah. with me. Like we yeah, go me, opening yeah, night yeah. and you know, I mean,
he's not just, that into it like I am. Cause we're, you and I are the same age exactly, of that, exactly. that era, but like our kids are not as into it as that, as we were, but
you're
they enjoy it. Yeah, I'm 29. What are you talking about? Look at you roll your eyes at me.
Threw my lightsaber at you. Well, I've always loved Star Wars, but I guess I'm not as into it. And my kids have never
What's
really...
nostalgic
it really
also,
is.
Man.
It
like,
really
you know,
is.
My family immigrated from the Philippines in 1972. And in 1978, when Star Wars came out, we were in Savannah, Georgia. My dad took my sister and I. There was no seats left in the theater. We were in the front row looking up straight at the theater.
Yeah.
You know, it was yep. wild. Star Wars. And my yeah. dad was just like, this is it. This is like, you know, wow, we're actually here. It was a big, big deal, man.
I was there.
So yeah.
it was big. I remember
it was a big deal.
It was Jaws.
I had
was
all
the
action
Jaws,
figures.
Another big
Jaws
one.
Was 1975. So that was the first. That, now that we have, we're in this like summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Even that phrase "summer blockbuster" mm-hmm. never occurred before 75.
Right. So
before
I was seven.
Jaws. So then
I saw that man. In the theater.
So Star Wars after that was the one that really kind of cemented summer as the box office season. There were places where both Jaws and Star Wars. Played for over a year in those in the same theater and had because it kept making money for them. So those are the ones that really cemented all this. This entire industry has been founded on those two films, right. both from.
Well, and that's right when I kind of became. And the funny thing is, I was seven.
Yeah,
I saw Jaws in the theater at seven.
That,
yeah,
that was. That
you
was,
know, now we can't do that. We couldn't take our little two. Kids into. I forget, was Jaws R or PG?
It was PG. It was PG at the time.
You know what's yeah. wild about Jaws? It was based on a 20-foot great white shark, and now and then now you as actually a 20-foot great white shark out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
in Jersey.
Like, you know, back then,
Jersey swimming
it was, you know, you look at this movie, you're like, wow. You
I
know,
just watched something about this whole conversation about sharks and how that movie was based on the guy that used to go up there. They used to have a big shark fishing competition. I think it was a Mako shark competition. Mm. And they would take all the sharks, and it was the Mako or any shark, really. And they would all go up there, and there was a guy that, based on the character of the old man with the boat,
mm-hmm.
and he would go up there and catch these giant sharks mm-hmm. and hang them up by the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Have mm-hmm. you heard this before?
Yeah.
Quinn.
Well,
Quinn.
Well, yeah,
whatever.
Quinn was the character.
Right.
But
we were just talking about this last night. I mean, it was Jersey was the first documented shark attacks in the United States during the Industrial Revolution. Mm. So there were, and it was not Asbury Park, but close, like Avalon, somewhere close in that vicinity. I can't remember. There's a great book called Close to Shore that documents. It talks about how you know we're in the Industrial Revolution, so we're thinking we're you know top dog here, and as far as evolutionary methods are concerned, and then all of a sudden all these shark attacks started happening, and you're like, oh wait a minute, mm-hmm. we're a little bit further down the food chain than we thought, and,
right.
you know, so it's a fascinating read, and it's so cool, and I'll always remember a line from that book that says, hey, look, you know what, we don't go to the mountains and start rattling around in caves, we don't go to the jungle and start swimming or swinging on the trees, but everybody goes to the beach and they expect it to be like their swimming pool.
Right.
And it's one of those things where, like, if you don't respect what's out there, mm-hmm. if you don't have respect for what's out there, then guess what? Then you deserve to be on Darwin's waiting list, you know?
Yeah. I mean, right.
It's just one of those things that I totally...
It's a theory of evolution.
I love sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love what's out there. I love and respect, you know, all the creatures that are out there in the ocean because, you know, it's a different ecosystem altogether.
I love them, except for jellyfish. I don't love jellyfish.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't love
so, those. But I wanted to get back to what you were saying because Rob and I had a really interesting conversation about that, just about how we all experienced movies growing up. And for years I've been saying how in the communications industry in particular, too, the necessity to communicate with each other, like what we're doing right now, and to have face-to-face communications, because the society, as we've progressed, these little opportunities to have these face-to-face conversations have eroded. And I'm not being fatalist. I mean, this is just what happens. Like when you used to get gas, someone would you'd pay somebody at the pump and they'd pump it for you. You'd have just an inconsequential conversation with them and then go out throughout your day. Same with you know, if you needed to withdraw money from the bank teller would know your name. Hey, how's your day going, Mr. Rector? So on and so forth. And then you go on your way. And it wasn't anything, but at least it was a chance to look somebody in the eye and to communicate with them. And I see this is what brought me to film, because film was this place where I could go into a darkened theater and have a shared experience with at least 100 plus other people. And regardless of, you know, what side of the fence they were on, you'd come out a buzz and maybe just have this kind of communication with somebody like, oh, that really sucked, or oh, that was great, whatever. And it was an opportunity to have just a complete conversation with a stranger because you both shared that same experience.
Yeah.
And now this box office, this current box office, I was just doing a piece on it, and it was the lowest ticket price or ticket consumption since 1992, like the lowest number of tickets sold in the summer since 1992. I mean, that's huge, even though we had, you know, blockbusters like we were talking about, and fewer people are going to the movies because we've got streaming, because we've got all these other opportunities. But I loved film because of all the art forms. Film is the one that unifies us, because not everyone's got a favorite ballet. Not everyone's got a favorite museum they go to. But you ask anybody and they've all got a favorite film.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Everyone's got a favorite film. And it just, you know, it's a little disheartening, just because that's just one more opportunity to have that shared connective moment with people that we're losing a little bit. And again, I'm not fatalist. I'm sure it'll resurface somewhere else.
So you're saying, Rob, we've disconnected and film is not enabling that anymore?
Well, it's just not, it's not the motivator it once was.
Well, here's the other thing with that. With the advent of streaming set-top boxes and Netflix, and there's movies coming out and series coming out every every week, second, every day.
Totally.
You know, and there's now, I wanted to get your opinion on this, the remakes of Friday the 13th and Halloween. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's just weird to me. Maybe it's my age. No, I don't know. Like, dude, it's just...
So five of the top summer films were either remakes or sequels or mm-hmm. offshoots of some. Mm-hmm. And most of them were Disney, which mm-hmm. is another thing that should, you know, should kind of concern artistic minded people, because
it's corporate.
To have one studio be in the hands of just one studio, that's kind of scary. It should be.
So Disney owns Lucas. They own Pixar too, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. They owned all 20th Century Fox stuff. That's mm-hmm. I saw Ready or Not, which is a little horror film that came out. Great, great horror film. Came out a couple weeks ago, and it had the 20th Century the Fox Searchlight logo, which is what Fox used for their art house division. Like, that's mm-hmm. where they keep kind of their experimental films. And I'm like, it almost saddened me a little bit, because I'm like, that's the last time I'm going to see that thing. You know, the Searchlight, because that's what they gave to the smaller budgeted filmmakers who just wanted to explore and try something out.
What's your last film that you would call one of your favorites?
That one was right up there. I mean, favorite movie.
Well, I mean, like in the last 5 years, I'm thinking, what's the last movie I even saw? Usually, you know, fortunately, I'm in that age where I have, if I go to a movie, it's usually my kids want to see it, you know. So it's like, you know,
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was.
So that just came out.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. It was phenomenal. I mean, and that ironically was of the top 10 box office hits this summer. That was number 10. And it was the only original film that actually made it into the top 10.
So, number one reason that movie was good to you. Number one.
It was a personal vision fulfilled. So it was someone's artistic vision that he got a chance to completely fulfill it and tell his way. And it felt, I had no idea what was going to happen next. And I like that feeling.
Second reason.
The acting was superlative. There was just such a, so Leonardo DiCaprio, who's in it, who is just one of the best actors we have working today, hands down. He had his character had a slight stutter, and so many times I've seen it portrayed on the screen. Benicio del Toro did it in one of the Star Wars films, mm-hmm. and it was this exaggerated, like, you know, and so many times when you hear that, you know, it's like, oh man, it just takes you out of the character.
Right.
His was just, it came up only when he was agitated, and it was exact, and it felt like, you know, I know people who have issues like that, and it felt like I was communicating with them.
Third reason,
cinematography. It was gorgeous to look at. I mean, his.
So your top three was not. So the technical side, the special effects weren't. Nothing was part of that.
There was relatively any special effects.
It was somebody put.
Unless they digitally put in Brad Pitt's abs, because God, he's gorgeous. I mean, those abs are just unbelievable.
Well, and so
55.
Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean. These great actors can make great movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's Gladiator. You remember who's the guy that played
Russell
Crowe?
The other guy.
Oh, Joaquin Phoenix.
So Joaquin Phoenix has a cleft lip.
And
you would think that would be an issue,
mm-hmm.
but he's so good, you don't even pay attention to it.
And I think he's, from what I understand, he's going to be Oscar bound this year because he just he got an 8-minute standing ovation for he's playing the Joker. In a film, standalone film, based on the origin of the Joker, which at first I was like, God, Todd Phillips, who directed the Hangover films, I was like, he's going to be directing it. And then I just read about all this stuff from Venice where it just premiered. And he had an 8-minute standing ovation, awards talk for Joaquin on this. So he's another one who just kind of gets lost in his characters.
Well, anybody else excited for... Highway to the Danger Zone.
Oh, the new Top Gun 2?
Oh, darn, I thought you were going to say there was an Archer movie. Yeah.
Actually, I'm excited. Tom Cruise is one of my absolute favorite actors.
Tom, you tell me what other...
Everybody hates him.
No.
Personal
politics, whatever aside.
Yeah.
What other 55-year-old or whatever, he's closing in on 60, I know. Yeah,
totally, I get my 11 bucks worth of
who
that guy.
Who throws his entire body into it and is willing to break limbs for your entertainment. That is dedication.
He's awesome.
He's amazing.
They're just haters. I love Tom Cruise.
Mission Impossible has only gotten better.
The only movie I didn't like is the one where he had that mask on.
Cocktail?
No. You know, the one that was like, he had like burned face or something. What was that? It was a terrible movie. I don't know why.
I am so stoked for Top Gun.
Go.
I've seen it.
We were just talking about his role in Tropic Thunder. Holy shit! What a tour de force he was! Great.
Those
in
arms.
That was amazing. The fat hands dancing around. Yeah. Oh, it was great.
So a friend of mine,
look at that,
said that Top Gun in 1986 or 87 when it came out was the best recruiting tool that the Navy used ever.
Yep. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was awesome, man. I can't, dude. I think I was a sophomore in high school when that thing came out. I was like, "That's it. I'm a Navy pilot. I'm going to be a Navy pilot."
Dude, I had a good friend of mine. He became a Top Gun pilot and he became a Top Gun instructor.
Wow, that's nice. When you see those jets go by over here, I'm like, man, that's got to be the you go into a party and you're like, hey, man, I'm an F-16 pilot.
Yeah,
my dad was a pilot. Yeah,
drop the mic.
Yeah, boom.
Walk out. See y'all.
And he did all this. Tom Cruise did all this, man. He's 60 something years old. Like
he's 60?
No, he's got to be in his 60s.
He's closing in on it. But still, I mean,
he's got his leather jacket bomber on.
That's it.
He's got his Kawasaki, whatever that is.
The guy is dedicated to his craft, man. So,
well, I'm curious to see what his Iceman look like because I've seen some pretty painful photos of Val Kilmer, man, over the years.
Yeah, but
and Kelly, what's
I
your face?
I thought he died.
No, he looked like he's death. He looks like death.
I thought Iceman died. Who's the guy that
Goose?
Goose's son, I think, is in this, but. Kelly, what's her face?
Kelly McGillis.
McGillis. Like she's in. I'm wondering if she's coming back. Was she? Because Tom is the one who took care of himself.
Yeah. You know? I'll bet you. Val Kilmer, aside from maybe putting on some extra pounds, still. I mean, if he hit the gym,
he could
I
do
think
it.
He'd
yeah.
be Iceman once again, and we wouldn't even notice.
That's right.
Put a little frosted tips.
I am dangerous.
I'll be your wingman.
That's right. I am. There were so many awesome one-liners in Top Gun.
Yep.
Weren't there?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing amount of like one-liners in that. Like,
I think that single-handedly kicked off the karaoke generation.
Oh my God!
Everyone right. singing, "You I lost that love and feeling."
Yeah, right. You lost that love.
So yeah.
I mean, the state of film for me, Rob, is I think there's so much of it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the whole. That's why the traditional, people are waiting for it to show up 2 months later on iTunes.
Yeah.
You know, or on Netflix.
But I wish that there's still a venue, and there is, and that's kind of what the Revival House is for us. It's
right.
just a chance to, that's why we do a lot of participatory things there too, because it's a chance to yell at the screen or, make fart sounds, whatever, yeah. mm-hmm. and participate with a stranger sitting next to you and still have a good time. Because I miss that part about film. That's important to me. I mean, going to the theater and seeing something is important to me. That's why
Star Wars is for me that makes it an event
exactly.
to go to the movie theater,
totally.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I do want to see the movie that you talked about with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Cause that's great.
I ran with James and he said it's an amazing movie. And
it is.
But some people, L.A.
Oh right.
What was the name of it? The one you were just talking about?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's supposed to be amazing. But there are some people that just love movies. I mean, I like movies, but, it's
when
with kids and all this stuff. Biggest issue is like they've 30 just become
bucks.
So expensive.
Yeah, so expensive. Wait for you to say it.
Well, I'm not tight, but, I go with four kids.
No, it is expensive.
It's $100 a night. Right. No candy tonight.
Oh, you sneak the candy in. Are you kidding
me? You see the guys whip out their extra large popcorn boxes because it's free refills.
Yeah, right?
Out of their pocket.
It's been folded up for the last, like, 8 of them.
Yeah. I crack up when I see that in the movie theater. The guy whips it out of his pocket. He's got his extra large popcorn.
You can do that?
No, you can't, but I've seen it.
I'll never forget. I told my
game.
When we were going down to a larger screen theater in Salisbury at one point, I took my kids, and they were much younger at that point. So, and the popcorn or the candy was exorbitant. I mean, not like it is at Movies Midway. It's inexpensive. It's $1. So, but down there, it's just, you can blow $100 just on food. But so, of course I had my kids, here, put it in here, put it in there. And then I said, last thing I said to my son, I was like, but don't let them catch you. Because if you do, you'll be put in movie jail until the end of the theater, or until the end of the screening. And he's like, looked at me for a second. He's like, there's no movie jail. And then I said, Nate, you're going to realize that 50% of the things that I tell you in this life are a lie. I love you.
It will help you, but it is a lie.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's funny. So what is the, when are we start thinking about the trailer? I know we talked a little bit about it, but I know, what are some of the things that are coming up? I know we got the trailer.
So we're doing,
you're still doing the third Thursday thing.
We're doing the third Thursday thing. We're doing the Crow, Crow retrospective this month. Where originally, now we were going to do, there's Val, poor Val.
Is Val in Top Gun? And apparently, it looks like according to this article, he might make an appearance. I don't know.
But
he looks like he does the look. He's,
yeah,
he looks like he sat at the poker table
look,
too
still
long.
Got great hair, you know.
No, he's definitely a handsome fella.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. If he dropped 30 pounds, he probably
can
do it. Yeah.
Is he heavy?
So,
he put on some weight. He's enjoying life.
But, so originally we were going to do, this is the 30th anniversary for Tim Burton's Batman. And
that was a good one.
It was great.
Yeah.
And it actually redefined a lot of what the modern
superhero
movies are.
Who played Batman in that one?
Michael Keaton.
He did great.
He was
Jack Nicholson. And you had Prince as you give
that
me
was an event too.
God, it was amazing.
That was an event.
Unfortunately, Warner Brothers, after we had already, booked it, Warner Brothers put a moratorium on all Batman films being shown, being screened. So we had to walk that one back. And then I found out it's the 25th anniversary of The Crow, which is another one that is
great movie.
So that's Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee.
So did you like...
Died on the set.
I have to ask, what did you think of the portrayal of Bruce Lee in that movie?
Oh, what? It's called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm just asking.
I know, but it is
apparently it was a little, it was a bit of a topic.
Well, it also had, you know, the entire, I don't want to give away anything, but the horrors of the Manson murders apparently were thwarted, you know, if you were to believe this too. I mean, it was all a fantasy. Mm-hmm. You know, it was grounded in reality, and sure, there were some names that are taken from real life, but it was a fantasy movie, and you know, I had no issue. I love Bruce Lee movies just as much as the next person, but I took it as it was a character in a film. It was not.
Well, I just had watched something, and they were talking that they felt like Bruce Lee kind of got the short end of the stick.
Yeah, but, you know.
Made him out to be a little silly.
Talk about going out on top, man, Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So that's, you know, so we have The Crow coming up, and then we do another one, and it's coming up where we've worked with, what we do is we work with a local, she's a musician, and she composes the score. And what I do is I'll strip the score of a film, which is it's a pretty labor intensive process, because there's no separate track for a score versus your sound in a film. So you kind of have to do some ADR and stuff in there, but she composes and scores it live there. So it's not like a silent film. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of times where their silent films are scored live. This is an actual, like we did Moon, and this time we're going to do Drive, the Ryan Gosling film from a few years ago. Really, really moody, good film. Bryan Cranston is in it.
And moody. I like that.
It's super, moody. Super good. But she's going to be scoring that live too, and she composes it and you know, brings her synthesizer on there, and she just does an amazing job. So we'll have that coming up. We're going to have Gremlins coming up for Christmas time. So
I feel like I grew up in almost the perfect time, really.
Yeah.
I bet you feel the same way.
Absolutely.
You know, we didn't have VCRs. We didn't have DVDs. We saw a movie, and if we wanted to see it again, we had to go back and see it again.
Yep.
We would literally go to. I saw Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band movie.
Steve Martin.
Probably 34 times. And then we just sat in and never left the theater. And then we'd go to the mall and get our chicken filet samples and then go back to the movies. It was like such a great time. And now.
Yeah. And we were even talking about that too. And just even, you know.
Poltergeist.
The inception of Cinemax and, you know. And, and what that did
Skinemax.
For us growing up. Yeah. Being able to like press two of the, you know, the cable buttons together at the same time. And for like 2 minutes or for 2 seconds, you'd be able to see like a squiggly naked person or something. And you're like, it was like a holy grail for you.
Yeah,
you know?
It was so funny. My dad brought home this coffee can antenna like contraption that you were supposed to get special channels, and we're like,
remember the black box?
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. Totally. It was such a good time, man. Yeah.
It was such a good time
to be alive.
You had to work for things, though. Like, you know,
it was a project.
Yeah, it wasn't like right now. You can just do a quick Google search, and boom, it's right there. Like any kind of,
it's wild. Yeah. Now you're making it. Now we're going back to our childhoods.
Well,
man.
And everything back then, everything used to be a privilege, you know. And that's we were talking. I was talking to this guy yesterday about we thought we should bring back the duel. You know, like, you know, it used to be like you could badmouth somebody or you could complain or, you know, whatever it is. But there was always a chance that someone could bitch slap you.
Yeah.
And now we don't have that risk. So it's a free for all. And, you know, back in the, you know, the Red Baron days, you know, where these German pilots would have these gashes in their face. You see old pictures of them. Bring up old German pictures. And, you know, it used to be a badge of honor to have a duel scar in your cheek.
Yeah, but and that's, again, the personal conversation, that eye-to-eye contact. Because how many times have we yelled at our computer, you know? Or how many times have you, you know, sent off a flaming email that you're like, oh, I regret that immediately. But, you know, I mean, it's that kind of... that kind of confrontation, whether it's good or bad, that that we're missing. And I don't know.
We had to think about things a lot more.
You had to think of consequence, and you had to think about the consequence on another person.
Yep.
That's what I think is really kind of.
Well, we thought about. We would think, second think a lot of the things before. Yeah.
Before you shoot your mouth off.
Refrain from pen and tongue.
Yeah,
I got a question. I got a question for you guys. What do you guys think of the cube at Midway? The cube. Have you been in there?
That's more expensive, right?
Yeah, it's a dollar more.
Oh, I'm out. I'm not going Tom. With you.
It's a dollar more.
I think it's nice. It sounds good.
Loud in there, though, bro. Man,
well, I saw Bohemian Rhapsody there.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay, that's cool. I've seen a concert film. It's loud. It's really neat. I thought I was expecting something else for some reason. Like, I expected, I don't know. I mean, it's really neat to be there, and I go watch, all the Avengers movies in there and stuff, but, man, it's blaring.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, it's too far back from the screen.
Right, it's kind of far. I don't know why they did that. Is there a reason?
When you go to an IMAX, you look down the IMAX screen, and it's two-tiered and all that. And I like that because it gives you that,
That's what I was kind of expecting. I was expecting a little bit of that.
But this is just a big screen that's kind
far
of
away.
Far away.
Maybe it's for an emergency fire marshal thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
weird. I mean, it's great. They do crank up the sound, and you do get a chance
it's
to.
It's loud, man. My kids don't even want to go see movies in there because it's so loud.
Have you been down to the Fox Sun and Surf?
They
with the recliners.
It? Oh, they, oh.
They have
no,
these,
I didn't know that.
And they recline all the way back. I mean, they are sitting in your own. So it is amazing.
So I went to a movie theater in Wisconsin to visit my sister, and they it's like a restaurant. The recliners and they serve you food and beer at the movie while you're in your seat watching the movie. That's really cool.
Yeah. That's
when I was a kid.
Oh, here we go.
If you stood up, the seat collapsed and you fell on the floor. You got popcorn in a box.
right.
Your shoes got stuck to the seat.
Now you get sushi at the theater.
Oh, my God.
I'm done with it.
I didn't know the Fox and Sun upgraded like that.
Where's that?
It's Ocean City.
Right over
Ocean
the line.
City.
Right over the line. But the that's where Revival House.
I think I saw Back to the Future there.
Yeah, that's that metal kind of
the warehouse,
storehouse. Yeah, exactly. It looks like you should be having U-Haul.
So inside it's updated, and on the outside it has not.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I haven't been there in a while.
But that's where Revival House, ironically, kind of came from. What you were saying is there's a film theater in Austin, Texas that we've all visited, Rob, Aaron, and myself, in different times, called the Alamo. And the Alamo, they removed one row of seats in each row. So it would be seats, and then that row would be a row of, it would just be one singular strip of a table. And then you would get your food service on there. But I went there, saw they had Pink Panther and the Henry Mancini. They had a local quartet play during that. And saw The Room with Tommy Wiseau. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's an infamously bad movie, but the director came to it. And I met a couple guys who were just kind of hitchhiking across the country. They were from Australia. Just, again, that kind of communal feeling. But that's where Revival House was kind of born out of that concept.
That's neat.
Yeah.
My dad has the old theater seats from the old Midway movie theater.
Nice.
In his movie room and upstairs at his house.
Nice.
No way.
Yeah, that's cool.
Got him from Richard.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know. Did you ever
Joe
get
worked
any,
there?
Yeah. Did you ever get any of those? Did you try to get any of those seats?
No. Joe had offered them to me. The manager at the time had offered them to me because I used to review films. Well, I was reviewing films there then too. But no, I didn't have any.
What do you think? I know. Corporate.
What?
You're staring at me.
No, I'm watching. Yeah, making you uncomfortable.
I know you're out my tongue. But I wanted to ask you, how come we can't get the film festival kind of back together like it used to be?
It's I'm no longer involved, so
because of that. It used to be. It used to remember how the Jazz Fest. It was a big deal.
Totally.
The movie festival or the film festival was a big deal, and now they've kind of.
So, the Revival House is kind of what we have.
That's the incarnation.
It kind of what When we originally set out, so it was Barry Becker and myself who he put together the DC Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. So he had film festival experience. I didn't. I had no idea what I was doing. So luckily, you know, with Barry's direction, you know, we were able to kind of ask local businesses, and then Richard Derrickson gave us the theaters over at the what's now the Walmart was and or is, and over at the Rehoboth Mall, because he had a. He had eight theaters there that were being used. Theater. And then we had that entire courtyard there that was open, and people would sit down after watching movies there. He gave us the whole thing. So the first couple of years, that's where it was. I mean, it was great. It was amazing, and it was a great opportunity. And then, you know, as spacing and became limited and as we started to kind of evolve a little bit, it was more toward, you know, the direction that the board wanted to go in was more of one that catered toward well, people who were down here for summer homes and they're from DC and New York and they wanted to appeal and I'm not, you know, that's fine, but that's I liked the aspect of where you had local filmmakers and you gave them the opportunity
inclusion
to do that and to work with the local schools and really kind of incorporate it for I mean that's why it was the Rehoboth Beach Independent Film Festival, so right. You know, so that and that's fine, they, you know, they have the Art House Theater now, and you know they do their own thing with that, so
do you have you seen them well. Do you ever go see films there?
I haven't recently.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, listen, Rob.
Yeah.
We've been chatting for an hour. You and Carlos have been chatting for an hour, and I appreciate that. Welcome.
But listen, I am your father.
Well, and I, you know, it's great. Like I said, I've known you, but I haven't really known you. So it was great to have you on.
Yeah, it's great
and
learn being
about
here.
You. And hopefully we can have, you know, Rob W. He's been on a couple times. And,
yeah, man.
You know, the door is always open for you. Anything
you should have them both on at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk at all, or would you just listen to those guys?
No, there's not enough mics in here. I would just like be. I wouldn't be here.
Rob Waters, he's. I love Rob.
Yep.
He's the only guy that asks for a haircut that doesn't look like he got a haircut. Can you cut my hair and just make it look like I didn't get a haircut? I said, sure.
You're like pretending to cut his hair, like.
Well, maybe we can get you back on when we get closer to the horror trailer. Just some.
We'd love to.
Yeah. Anytime you got great. Something going on and we want to talk about it and spend an hour chatting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The door's always open
we'll
for you.
We'll get Rob and Aaron I'd love to have them on.
And you were going to put me in touch with your buddy, the podcast guy. So
we'll get you Keith.
Yeah. Let's get him on. And
absolutely.
And I want to pick his brain. And
yeah, man.
So we can just keep having a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Rob, I appreciate it. Have a great day. Happy holidays. And hope the fall treated you well as the summer did.
Thanks, gents. It was all good catching up. It was finally good seeing Carlos for a little while, too.
All right.
All right, brother. See you.
Awesome.